May God bless the hearing of His Word. I want to begin today with this message with this thought. Here we have the famous Ten Commandments, known worldwide as the cornerstone of Jewish faith and Christian faith. Everyone here, I'm sure, practices all of these perfectly and never has a problem with needing forgiveness. No? Well, it's unanimous. None of us have. But I'd like to ask you a question about the Ten Commandments. By the way, a little teaching here on the side. Do you notice that the first three commandments are about our relationship with God? And the six commandments are about our relationship with each other? And that middle commandment is maybe the most important one. Not the middle, the fourth one. Now, I say that because that's what today's lesson is about in the Scripture. It's not about a sermon that Jesus is preaching. It's not about a miracle. It's about something called Sabbath, right? Something this congregation has studied, talked a lot about even since I've been here. The concept of Sabbath. So if I ask you, which commandment is it that you break most often? Have you ever been asked that in church? Which commandment is it that you break most often? Maybe even on a regular basis? What would you say? Four? I bet most people wouldn't say that. Lying seems to be a popular answer. A little white lies, you know. Fibbing, maybe. But it is four. You know, because Sabbath doesn't mean coming to church. That's not what Sabbath means. Have you seen really the contents of the fourth commandment and what it means and why Jesus is so intent on teaching us the importance of Sabbath? Let's see what the fourth commandment says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Keeping it holy. Keeping a full 24-hour period holy. What does that mean? Well, that means it belongs to God and not to you. It's one 24-hour period for you to be freed from all of your worldly concerns, obligations, desires, and give that period of time solely and totally to the Lord thy God. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that means it's not this. It's not a holiday, the most common, I think, interpretation of Sabbath. A day off for me, right? Let's go to the lake, and let's go to the movies, and let's go out to eat. I don't have to work today, and right? Sports, the Bears. It's a holiday. It's a Hallmark holiday. They've claimed another one. There's probably Sabbath cards out there to help you celebrate yourself and your free day. It's not that. But don't fret, because that's good news. It's better than that. It's better than a holiday. It's a holy day. It's a day committed totally to God. Totally. Can anybody do that perfectly? Welcome to the human race. No. But can we be fiercely intentional in it? Yes. In fact, God made it one of those Ten Commandments that He wrote on that stone tablet that Moses brought down from the mountain. In fact, It seems to be, in reading the Gospels, the one commandment that Jesus talks about to the exclusion of all the others. To the exclusion of all the others. Because it's the key to learning how to live a life in the kingdom. Because Jesus says he brought a kingdom life to us if we would only emerge into it. Repent, remember, turn and believe in it and live into it. And what is the kingdom other than Sabbath? Devoted totally to God. Holiness. Selflessness. Denying yourself. Can you hear Jesus saying that? Being born again from above. Can you hear Jesus saying that? Right? Putting away the things of the world. Even he says, hating the things of the world to see the kingdom of God. Jesus teaches us over and over that the Sabbath is indeed the most important commandment there is, because it's how we learn to be kingdom people. But we got a problem with that. Because the kingdom means a different way of being. And we're people who like doing. Aren't we? We're all about doing. And the Sabbath is about being. Now, I'm going to try to keep this, and I'm going to work hard at this here. Help me out. I'm going to try to keep this, you know, understandable. A little bit, I hope. Because being essentially means not in time. Oh my God, here we go. It means being in a different frame of mind. Let me explain just a little piece of this. As Yoda said, friends, we must unlearn everything we have learned before we can become wise. Next slide. Everybody recognize this? This is our symbol we use. It's a symbol. It's not an actual thing. It's not time itself. It's our most common symbol for time. It's how we do things. We do things in time. It's required on this earth to have time in order to do things. It takes time. And time is linked, bonded to, with another concept that's of this earth, space. You with me? I know. Time and space. It's like the goldfish, right, in the fishbowl. It's so it's so important to the way we live on this earth. What am I trying? I'm trying to keep it simple. Right? It's so natural to us that we can't imagine not having time and space. But just let me share this with you a minute. For me to walk to Anne requires two things. With me? Time and space. And I can't separate them. I can't forget about the time and just be with Anne. Because it takes time. Are you with me? It takes time. And I can't cross that space without taking time. Right? It's the way we live in this world. You with me? Hang with me a little bit. But I know that time isn't exact. It's not as precise as we like to think it is. Think about this. Have you ever looked up in the sky and seen the moon? Everybody? So what you're seeing, you know, is not the moon at that moment. It takes a second for the light from the moon to reach your eyes. You with me, Abe? So you're actually seeing the moon a second ago. Okay? Have you looked up and seen the sun? That sun you're seeing is not the sun at that moment. It takes about 8 minutes for the light from the sun to reach your eye. So the sun you see is the sun 8 minutes ago. You see, we're getting outside of our time and space continuum because it's relative, as Einstein taught us. It's not as definite and constraining as we think. The closest star, to us, right, is years away from us. The light we see from the closest star takes years to get to us. So we're actually seeing the light of that star years ago. We're seeing the past. You need a cup of water? An aspirin? Hang with me. I know, I give Ann a hard time on this stuff a lot. Right? Here's one more little thing. We have a satellite out in space right now that's supposed to be the replacement of the Hubble satellite. And apparently they're trying to point that satellite's camera towards the end of the galaxy, towards the end of the universe, I mean. Towards the end of the universe, right? And the reason they want to do that is they want to try to get pictures from the end of the universe. Do you know why? So they can see the beginning of the universe. Because the light they'll actually see, I'm having fun. The light they'll actually see is 13 billion years ago. And that's about when we think creation started scientifically. And there's a hope, there's a little hope that if we time it right and are pointing the camera in the right way, that we'll see the moment of creation. Because the light of that is just reaching us. Isn't this fun? Here's my point. We need to unlearn what we think is the only way there is in order to truly understand the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God isn't what we tend to think it is. Just a better place on this earth, a kinder, more loving, more giving place. It's something totally different than the ways of this earth. It's heaven coming into earth. And what is heaven but eternity? So let me pose two different concepts to you. This is going to be on the test, by the way, so you want to write this down. Two Greek words. The Greeks understood this right away. They understood this concept of time and space, and yet there was more to existence than that. And they called the time that we measure by hours and minutes on a clock, they called that time chronos. That's a Greek word. Chronological. It's measured time. God didn't create that. We did. God created a natural time from creation. Sunrise, sunset, right? Days, how we measure them. We decided to measure them. That's chronological time so that I can say, let's meet at 2 o'clock. And we'll all know what that means. That's something we've done. That's not part of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is based on what the Greeks called kairos time. Kairos isn't time at all, the way we know it. It's timelessness. It's outside of time and space. So that all is happening all the time. It's kind of like when I talk about the sunrise and sunset. Did you know the sunrise is always happening? Right? And the sunset is always happening. Both of those are always happening on this earth. It's almost like that's in eternity. It's outside of our concept of time, our constraints of time. So that if we can come to understand a different way of being, not doing, but being, then we begin to understand the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is God's time, which is eternity, not chronos time. It's outside of time. So that God is always working all the time through all the ages. and that it's all come together in God. It's outside of our human constraints. And what Jesus has offered us is a way to live that way here on earth, which is what the kingdom of God represents. It's being freed to the extent possible as human beings from our time-space constraints. And what comes with those constraints? All kinds of things that make life challenging and hard. Measured time. What if you were freed from that concept and every day was just free to be and not necessarily have to do? You know, you can actually live that way. Maybe farmers understand this more than anybody, because their Kronos clock is often set on God's time. Sunrise, sunset, seasons, soils, and not our clock time. Okay, so why do I make a big deal about this? Because this is how we can understand the kingdom of God. And this is what, when Jesus talks about freedom, this is what he means. There are concepts, there are ways of living that are actually more eternal and universal than they are time-space. Concepts, ways of living that are more eternal than time-space. You want me to tell you what some of those are? True justice is eternal. It's not based on time-space of this earth. True justice, right? Beauty is eternal. There's no reference point in space. Divine love is eternal. Do you ever think about the conditional love you offer in this world and how so often it's based on things of this world? Whether we love somebody or not is based on obligations, desires, needs in your time-space life. To break free from that frees you to love unconditionally, because your love isn't based on those things anymore. Love, beauty, justice, peace, a peace that surpasses all human understanding, is eternal. It's not based on earthly time. That's why it's so important to understand this concept. So how do you get this kingdom time, this eternal time? What's the symbol for that? There is no symbol for it, really. People have tried. I have my favorite symbol about just being and not doing. It's this painting. This is probably my favorite Van Gogh painting. It's called The Sower. Vincent Van Gogh had a special gift to see outside of time. He saw colors as the primary force in the world. Colors were his kingdom. And he used those on canvas, on his palette. This is a sower. You see here? This is just being. This is life in the kingdom. It's what we do as followers of Christ every day. We sow. We do all we can, which is sow. We sow seeds. That's all we can do. Only God can nurture them and make them grow and bring in a harvest from the seeds we sow. But we keep sowing. And no matter what we're doing on any given day, if we're being in the kingdom, we're sowing. We're sowing at our job. We're sowing at the store. We're sowing at home and with the family. We're always sowing. We're in the kingdom, no matter what we're doing. So that what we're doing loses its attachment to us, because it's now about what we're being. And what we're being are seed sowers. You see, there's a little path there in the field, but it's not going anywhere in particular. It's just a path we walk every day. And we walk in the field of this world, and we spread our seeds to all those we encounter. And out in the distance, there's a harvest, isn't there? Some of those are seeds that we threw. Some of them are seeds that others threw. We have no control over that harvest. That's God's work. But we participate in the kingdom work by just being who we are called to be. Outside of our human time-space constraints. We don't let that constrain our lives because we are kingdom people. It's why when we read the Gospels of Jesus Christ, they're just as true today as they were when they happened. They're outside of time and space. They're eternal stories and lessons. They're universal values and lifestyles. The story today of Jesus in the synagogue is the story today of me here with you. We're all trying to live into the kingdom and break out of the constraints of time and space. You see, the religious leaders didn't get it. Their power was based on the earth. But the power of Jesus Christ is based on the kingdom and eternal principles and universal values. And unless we can unlearn the constraints that we put on our life of time and space, then we can't see the calling that God really has for us, which is to do this every day of our life, no matter what it is we're doing. Any questions? Unusual message today. I challenge you to pray about this. To ask God through the Holy Spirit to open up your mind and to see times in your life when you feel outside of the constraints of time and space and you're just being. It might be when you're involved in a thing you love to do and you lose track of time, or when you're in prayer, maybe when you're singing. There are moments in your day, I guarantee you, that time escapes you, that you lose that constraint. And now you're in the kingdom. It doesn't last long, and you may not even know you were there. I want you to be conscious of that. Because as we move forward together, in 2 weeks we go back to the beginning and the day of creation in Genesis 1. It will be important to at least be willing to think about this is not about simply the earth and the way we live here. What God is teaching us in the Bible is eternal. And it's not about things necessarily that we do, but it's about how we learn to be with God. For that is the kingdom of God. Thank you.